إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Bi idhnillahi ta'ala, this evening we would like to begin with our first lecture in the series of lectures for this month of Ramadan. And the topic that we want to discuss this evening is basically any reflections from some of the ulama or the scholars of Ahl Sunnah of our time concerning the ayah of Siyam from Surah Al-Baqarah that is addressed to the people of Iman. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And the ayats that follow. Our discussion this evening, though, is going to focus on just this one ayah. And before reading from the tafsir of Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, I'd like to just quote a few statements from an advice that was given by Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah, on the occasion of the approach of Ramadan many years ago. And he said, after mentioning the name of Allah and praise upon Allah and salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and his companions, he said, concerning the approach of the blessed month of Ramadan, I advise my Muslim brothers everywhere to have taqwa of Allah, Azza wa Jalla. And this is our topic tonight, related to this matter. To have taqwa of Allah, Azza wa Jalla. To strive to do good deeds. Yani to make a conscious, concerted effort to increase and to be constant in doing al-a'mal as-salihah. To give sincere advice to one another. Yani advice that is sincerely for the sake of Allah, and to be patient with the advice that is given to you. To assist one another in good deeds and piety. Yani to cooperate and to help and assist one another in doing good deeds. And to be cautious of all sins, yani everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us. Wherever one may be, in every situation or circumstance, in public and in private, especially during this noble month. For indeed, it is a great month within which the reward for good deeds or good actions is multiplied. And mistakes or sins are forgiven during this month for those who fast and perform voluntary prayers, meaning the prayers in the night, with sincere faith and hoping to attain Allah's reward. Ya'ani, with iman and ihtisab. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. And the same thing, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. يعني whoever fasts this month of Ramadan with iman, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated this fast for us and made it obligatory upon us, and hoping, expecting, and anticipating the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever does so with iman and ihtisab, then their sins, their previous sins, would be forgiven. And whoever stands in the nights, in the voluntary prayer, in the nights of Ramadan, with iman, sincere faith, and ihtisab, hoping, expecting, anticipating the reward of Allah for these deeds, then their previous sins will be forgiven. And the Shaykh, I'm quoting just a few statements that he made from here before we get into the main topic. He also went on to say, I advise my Muslim brothers, and by the way, it also means Muslim, our Muslim sisters, to be sincere and upright during the days and the nights. Yani during the days of fasting and the nights after breaking the fast. During the days and the nights. All of it is Ramadan. And to compete in doing good deeds. Compete with one another. Strive to do better and to do more and more. And from amongst these good deeds are to increase in reading Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem with understanding and contemplation, yani reflecting and pondering over what you are reading. It's not so important that you race through the Mus'haf and you finish 1/30th of the Qur'an every day. Rather, what is important is that you ponder and reflect and contemplate what you have read, even if it is a little. And to increase in At-Tasbih, the glorification of Allah, saying Subhanallah, and At-Tahmeed, praising of Allah, saying Alhamdulillah, and At-Tahleel, declaring that nothing and no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah, saying La ilaha illallah, and At-Takbir, declaring the greatness of Allah, saying Allahu Akbar, and Al-Istighfar, seeking forgiveness of Allah for our sins and our shortcomings, saying Astaghfirullah. Yani, the Shaykh Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah is reminding us of the importance of these matters that might seem small and insignificant to many but are great and magnificent. Saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. From the easiest of deeds and the most weightiest on the scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah. If a person has said it with consciousness of what they are saying, reflecting and pondering upon the magnitude and the importance of these words, and hoping for reward from Allah. And astaghfirullah, seeking Allah's forgiveness day and night. And to ask Allah for paradise, seeking His protection from the hellfire and all other good supplications. And from amongst the supplications of the Prophet ﷺ, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And he used to repeat this 3 times. Naam? The translation. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Allah, I ask you for the Jannah, the paradise, and I seek refuge in you, with you from the hellfire. And I also advise my Muslim brothers and sisters to increase in giving charity during this month. Even whoever has little, give a little. And whoever has much, give much. And to comfort the poor and the destitute. And to make every effort to deduct the zakat from one's wealth, the obligatory charity, and to distribute it amongst the deserving, meaning those who Allah has specified in the Qur'an, the 8 categories of people who are entitled to the obligatory zakat, from Surah At-Tawbah. And make every effort in inviting, calling to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and teaching those who are unacquainted with Islam, yani da'wah, to those who are not Muslims, and to command the good and forbid the evil, yani al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, with gentleness and wisdom and the best of manners. and enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, but with gentleness and with wisdom and with the best of manners, and to warn against all evil, and adhere to seeking sincere repentance according to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And turn to Allah in repentance, all of you, O believers, that you may be successful. Until the end of what the Shaykh said. And this is an advice from our Shaykh, our Imam, Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a. And I hope that we take it to heart and try to retain some of what he has said and to strive to implement it in this month especially and throughout the days that remain of our lives in this dunya. The comments that we want to start with tonight is from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasr al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. And particularly we want to focus on the comments related to the purpose or the objective, the wisdom behind the legislation of fasting. What is the purpose for which Allah has legislated fasting in the month of Ramadan? What is the objective? What is the goal? What is the wisdom underlying this legislation? And we want to read tonight from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, and some brief comments from al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah. And the comments, inshallah, are brief. But I hope that we will be able to focus and to retain the important matters and change our outlook as we go through this month of Ramadan from what we may have held in the past years. The Shaykh, he begins by mentioning from a group of ayats from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 183, 184 and 185, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O you who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, this ayah is addressed to the people of Iman, the people who have a conviction in their heart which they have expressed on their tongues, and then they have manifested in actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And all that He has called us to comply with and to avoid as in what He has revealed in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah. All you who believe, who have Iman, this kind of Iman, it has been prescribed, kutiba alaykum, it has been furida alaykum, made obligatory upon you, as siyam. Just as it has been made obligatory on the nations before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps, or so that, in order that you will achieve at-taqwa. And he goes on to the ayats that follow, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, that these are only a few fixed, limited number of days, meaning that it's not like fasting the whole year, or many years rather, only a few days out of the year, 29 or 30 days. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرٍ. So whoever from amongst you is sick, is ill, or the person who is on a journey, a traveler, then if he doesn't fast some of the obligatory days of the fast of Ramadan, he should make them up of days later, at another time, when that person recovers from their sickness or when they return from their journey. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ تَعَامُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And for those who are able to fast with difficulty, then they have an option, as it was in the beginning of the legislation of the fast of Ramadan. It was optional for a person to fast or to feed a poor person for each day that they didn't fast, if they didn't fast. فِدْيَةٌ تَعَامُ الْمِسْكِينَ, the expiation is feeding a poor person for each day that the person didn't fast. فَمَنْ تَطَوَّى خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. But whoever voluntarily does good, then it will be good for them. Whatever of khair that you do in this time, whether it's giving charity or helping some person, weak person, sick person, elderly person, person in need, in whatever way that you do khair, then it will be good for you. وَأَن تَصُومُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But if you fast, it is better for you. Yani fasting is better than feeding a person, unless you fast and you feed a person extra voluntarily. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. This is better for you to fast. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. That this is the month of Ramadan, the Shahr, the month of Ramadan, in which the Quran was revealed. Yani in which this is a special time in the year, it is a special month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out and made it special. And by what? By making it the month in which the Quran was initially first sent down as a guidance for the people, alaykum salam, and as clear evidences and proofs of the huda, the guidance, and the furqan, the criterion between right and wrong, and truth and falsehood. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. So whoever from amongst you witnesses this month, yani is present, is not a traveler during the time, during this month of Ramadan, then he must fast. And this revelation came after there was a choice between fasting or feeding a poor person. A person had a choice. Then this ayah came in which it became obligatory. It became obligatory. There was no more choice. Rather, for every person who was able, who was not a traveler, who was not sick, then they had to fast. It became obligatory to fast. فَلْيَصُمْ. وَمِنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامِ الْأُخْرَى. Except for those who are sick or on a journey, then they are exempt and they may fast days later. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. And Allah wants for you ease. Yani a few days out of the year to fast. And if you're sick or if you're on a journey or you have some excuse, Allah has made it easy for you. The fast itself originally is easy. But if a person has some hardship due to being sick or due to being a traveler, then Allah has allowed for them to make up the days later. And this is because Allah wants, Allah intends for us ease. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah does not want difficulty for you. Fast of Ramadan has not been legislated as a hardship or a punishment on the people. Rather, it has been legislated for the benefit, for the maslaha of the people. Whoever fasts, they would definitely benefit. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And that you may complete the number, yani the whole number, every day that you miss, you have to make up for. Whether the month was 29 or 30 days, you have to fast for every day that you miss with a legitimate excuse. وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. And to glorify and magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us to Islam. Indeed, from the greatest of ni'am that we received in this life is that we have been given the hidayah to Islam. That Allah has guided us from kufr to Islam, or from misguidance to right guidance, from being astray to the sunnah, from not understanding the aqidah Islamiyah that the Prophet ﷺ brought with, to knowing the correct aqidah and the manhaj of the Prophet and manhaj al-Nabawi. This is indeed a great ni'mah from Allah that we have to be thankful to Him for, and declare His greatness and His glory for such. And perhaps, you may be thankful. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi commenting on the first of these ayats, and that's all we want to discuss this evening. He says, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَ بِمَا مَنَّ بِهِ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, is informing us of the favor that He has blessed His servants, that the favor that He has given to His servants. بِأَنَّهُ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ السِّيَامِ. And that is that He has made obligatory upon His servants fasting. And this is a favor and a bounty and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as He, كَمَا فَرَضَهُ عَلَى الْأُمَمِ السَّابِقَةِ. Just as He made it obligatory on the previous nations. And here, كَمَا فَرَضَهُ, it doesn't mean that the fast that was made obligatory on the previous nations is the same as the fast that has been legislated for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it means that the obligation of fasting was on those people, the previous nations, and likewise, we also have the obligation of fasting, though the details or the manner of how the fasting has been legislated may differ from one nation and another. He says that this is a favor from Allah because the fasting, the obligation, the legislation of fasting is from the legislations and the commands. التي هي مصلحة للخلق في كل زمان. That this is something that is beneficial to the people in every time period. Not only the earlier nations, but every nation that came until today. The fasting, the legislation of fasting is a maslaha, is something of benefit that is for the improvement and the rectification and the betterment of the people. وفي تنشيط لهذه الأمة. And contained in this legislation is that which activates and motivates and causes the ummah, the people, the Muslims, to be active, to be motivated to move and to do something. بِأَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لَكُمْ أَن تُنَافِسُوا غَيْرَكُمْ فِي تَكْمِيلِ الْعَمَالِ وَالْمُصَارِعَةِ إِلَى صَالِ الْخِصَالِ. That we should be in competition with others, with the other nations, in the completion and the perfection of good deeds, and racing to do right, to have the righteous characteristics, صالي الخصال, all the characteristics of righteousness. We should be in competition, and we should strive and race to compete with others. وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الثَّقِيلَ. And this is not, yani this legislation of fasting was legislated on all the nations before us, and therefore this is not something that is very heavy or difficult that we have been especially singled out to fulfill. Rather, all the nations before also did the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory on every nation. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ تَعَالَى حِكْمَتَهُ فِي مَشْرِيَةِ الصِّيَامِ. Then Allah the Most High mentions the hikmah. What is the wisdom in His legislating fasting? What is its wisdom, the hikmah? Yani what is the ghaya, the objective? What is the hadaf, the goal? It is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps you will achieve التَّقْوَى. Now I want to stop here just for a second and say, if it is crystal clear in this ayat that the wisdom behind, the purpose and the objective, the goal of the legislation of fasting is that we achieve taqwa, then every single one of us must examine ourselves and make sure that we are doing what we do in order to achieve the goal for which the fasting has been legislated. Because if we don't achieve its goal, then we have wasted our time. Indeed, indeed, فَإِنَّ الصِّيَامِ مِنْ أَكْبَرْ أَسْبَابِ التَّقْوَى. That from the greatest of causes of the achievement of taqwa is fasting. لِأَنَّ فِيهِ امْتِثَالِ عَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَاجْتِنَابِ نَحْيِهِ. Because in fasting, there's the yani compliance, fulfilling that which Allah has commanded, the fulfilling of what Allah has commanded, and avoiding that which Allah has prohibited. Naam, in fasting. And then the Shaykh goes on to mention five matters. And this is what we want to focus on in his comments. We want to focus on these five matters. فَمِمَّا اجْتَمَلَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ التَّقْوَى. Yani from that which fasting comprises, that which is a part of fasting in terms of taqwa, from taqwa, أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ يَتْرُكُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْجِمَاعِ وَنَحْوَهَا أَلَّتِي تَمِيلِ إِلَيْهَا نَفْسُهُ مُتَقَرِّبًا بِذَلِكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ رَاجِيًا بِتَرْكِهَا ثَوَابَهُ فَهَذَا مِنَ التَّقْوَى. Yani from that which fasting is comprised of, that entails taqwa, is that the fasting person leaves off that which Allah has prohibited of food and drink and marital relations and that which is similar to it, from that which Allah has prohibited during the hours of fasting, that a person leaves off these things that Allah has made lawful for us in other times, but He has prohibited these things from us in fasting, though aslan, originally they are lawful. These are things that Allah has provided us with and given us with to live in this world and to enjoy and to benefit from. But He has prohibited us these things during the hours, the daylight hours of the month of Ramadan while we are fasting. So a person gives up these things that Allah has made lawful originally, that He has blessed us with as bounties, but the person gives them up. These things that the nafs, the self, the inner being is inclined towards and desirous was of, but rather the Muslim gives up these things mutaqarriban bidhalika ila Allah, as a means of getting near to Allah. Naam, as a means of getting near to Allah. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, in an essay that he wrote about fasting, he said that the human being doesn't give up that which is loved by them, that which is beloved to them, eating and drinking and marital relations, except for that which is more beloved. Naam. So if the pleasure of Allah and His reward and his Jannah is more beloved to you, it will be easy for you to give up that which you ordinarily are allowed to participate in, and that your nafs is inclined towards, and that you are in love with. You love to eat and drink and have relations with your spouse. But what is more beloved to you is the reward of Allah and the pleasure of Allah. So the person who loves something will give it up for that which is more beloved to them. So here the Shaykh is saying that even though these are things that our nafs is inclined towards and we love it, but rather we give it up for that which is more beloved as a means of getting near to Allah. Rajian bitarqiha, hoping by abandoning these things the reward of Allah. And this, to do so, is an aspect of taqwa. And secondly, the Shaykh, he says, وَمِنْهَا يعني from those things that fasting is comprised of, that entail an aspect of taqwa, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ يُدَرِّبُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى مُرَاقَبَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَيَتْرُكُ مَا تَحْوَى نَفْسُهُ مَا قُدْرَتِهِ عَلَيْهِ لِعِلْمِهِ بِاطِّلَاعِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Yani that the fasting person is training their self, training their nafs, their soul, their inner being, training their nafs ala muraqabati Allah, to be conscious, to be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always observing us. Yani fasting makes a person conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is seeing us, that Allah is hearing us, that Allah knows what we are doing all the time, even what we are thinking, what's inside of our mind and our heart. Allah is aware of all of this. And Allah is watching us, He is monitoring us. So fasting, yani abstaining from eating and drinking those things which are lawful during the month of Ramadan or any time, but especially in the month of Ramadan, makes a person more conscious of Allah. Because they know every time they want to engage in something that originally, that normally is lawful, they restrain themselves from it. And this makes them think, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah is watching, and that Allah is aware. So this fasting also contains this tremendous matter, al-muraqabah, muraqabatullah, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching you. So the person leaves that which their lower self desires. While they are able to do it, while they have the ability to go someplace and lock the door and eat and drink as much as they like, and nobody would know except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani a person restrains from that while they have the ability to consume because of their knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الصِّيَامِ يُضَيِّكْ مَجَارِيَ الشَّيْطَانِ. That also from the aspects of fasting that are related to taqwa is that fasting tightens and narrows and restricts the passages of shaitan. For indeed the shaitan goes through the veins, the blood vessels of the son of Adam, of the human beings. Yani travels through the human beings just like their blood travels through their body. And by fasting, by abstaining from eating and drinking, these vessels are tightened and restricted and narrowing the passage for shaitan and disabling shaitan to a great extent from doing that which he does to cause the human being to fall, to go astray and to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by fasting, these passageways are tightened and sins are decreased. Number four, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ فِي الْغَالِبِ تُكْثِرْ طَعَاتُهُ. Yani, overall, mostly, most of the time when a person is fasting, their good deeds, their acts of obedience to Allah will be increased. And a ta'at min khisal al-taqwa. And acts of obedience are from the characteristic, the special qualities of a taqwa. Yani avoiding sins and doing acts of obedience. And finally, the Shaykh says, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْغَنِي إِذَا ذَاقَ عَلَمَ الْجُوعِ أَوْجَبَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ مُوَاسَاتِ الْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُعْدِمِينَ وَهَذَا مِنْ خِصَالِ التَّقْوَى. And finally, he says that the rich person, the one who is well-to-do, who has plenty, who is enjoying the things of the world freely, whenever they desire. This person, when they taste the pains of hunger, because they are not allowed to eat freely during the fast of Ramadan, this forces them, compels them, this feeling, the hunger pains of fasting, forces them to support and to help and to aid and to be concerned and to console the poor people who are destitute and who are deprived and who are impoverished. And this also, yani, caring for, being concerned with, helping and supporting and spending, being charitable to the poor and the needy and the destitute, this is one of the great aspects of at-taqwa. And after this, very brief comments from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. In a question that was given to him, ما الحكمة من إجاب الصوم؟ يعني what is the wisdom behind the obligation of fasting? يعني why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory upon us fasting? And this is our topic tonight. يعني to understand what is the purpose, what is the goal? What is the reason behind this legislation? What is the wisdom, the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to which He made it obligatory upon us to fast in this month of Ramadan? And whoever understands this, it is incumbent and it is befitting of a believer to act upon it when it became clear. So the Shaykh, he says, the answer to this question, إِذَا قَرَأْنَا قَوْلَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. يعني if we were to read the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the mighty, the majestic, O you who believe, fasting, as-siyam, has been made obligatory upon you, just as it has been made obligatory on those before you, that perhaps you will achieve at-taqwa. He said, if we were to read this statement, then we would come to know that the hikmah from the obligation of fasting is at-taqwa. وَالتَّعَبُّدْ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani we would come to know that the wisdom behind the legislating or the legislation of making fasting obligatory is so that a person will achieve a taqwa and that they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the purpose of Allah making this obligatory upon us is so that we will worship Him with this special kind of worship. That is one of the great means of achieving a taqwa. And in fact, there's no doubt that every type of worship is a means to achieving taqwa. Naam, every type of worship. Any worship that a person does is a means to achieve a taqwa. But a siyam, a sawm, has a special place amongst other acts of worship in this particular category of achieving a taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. That all mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, that you will achieve taqwa. And this is a proof that taqwa is not something achieved exclusively through fasting. Rather, every type of worship is a means to a taqwa. But fasting is special, as mentioned in the hadith, inshaAllah, that we will come to. So the Shaykh, he says, at-taqwa, it is the abandonment of the things that Allah has made haram. And in the unrestricted sense, at-taqwa includes doing that which we have been commanded with, as well as abandoning that which we have been prohibited from. Yani at-taqwa in the general sense, in its unrestricted meaning, in its absolute sense, it includes both the doing of things that we have been commanded as well as avoiding that which we have been prohibited. وَقَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ In a hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari, من لم يضع قول الزور والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة في أن يضع طعامه وشرابه. That whoever doesn't, يعني يضع, doesn't يترك, doesn't abandon, doesn't give up قول الزور, false speech, والعمل به, and acting in accordance with false speech, والجهل, ignorance, فليس لله حاجة, then Allah has no need that that person should give up their food and their drink. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin in another place discussing this hadith, he said that قول الزور, it means كل قول محرم, every speech that Allah has prohibited. Every speech. Yani whoever doesn't give up qawla zur, meaning every type of speech that Allah has prohibited. Whether it's lying, or backbiting, or slandering, or any kind of deception. Whatever it is that is false speech, whoever doesn't give it up, وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ, and the Shaykh he said, and al-amala bihi means kullu fi'lin muharram, every action that Allah has forbidden. So here, if we understand the meaning here of this hadith, then we know that this is very, very comprehensive. That whoever doesn't give up every type of prohibited speech and every type of prohibited action, wal jahla, and ignorance, yani acting in a way that doesn't show your intelligence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you with. Whoever doesn't give up this kind of behavior, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ, then Allah has no need that that person should give up their food and their drink. And the Shaykh, he said, that the meaning of Allah has no need, it means الْإِلْتِفَاتِ وَالْمُبَالَاتِ, that Allah doesn't look to that person's fasting. Allah has no concern about that person's fasting. And this is an expression, the meaning of it is عدم قبول صيامه, that Allah doesn't accept their fast. And this is very, very, very important. That whoever doesn't give up false speech and false action and ignorant behavior, what need does Allah have that you give up eating and drinking lawful food that He has provided you with and made lawful for you? Allah has no need of this. And therefore Allah doesn't accept that kind of fast that doesn't achieve the objective and the purpose of the fast in the first place. The purpose of fasting is not to punish you with hunger and thirst by denying you, depriving you of that which Allah has provided you with and made lawful for you. That's not the purpose of the fast. Rather, the purpose of the fast is to achieve a taqwa. And a taqwa is abandoning that which Allah has prohibited and fulfilling that which Allah has commanded. So whoever doesn't achieve this purpose, objective of the fast in the first place, Allah has no need of his fasting. Allah doesn't look to it, is not concerned about, and doesn't accept it. And as we will see in some hadith that Shaykh Al-Albani refers to, in the discussion that follows, you will see that this meaning is crystal clear in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in other hadith besides this hadith. وَعَلَى هَذَا يَتَأَكَّدْ عَلَى الصَّائِمِ الْقِيَامِ بِالْوَاجِبَاتِ وَكَذَلِكَ اجْتِنَابَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ. And so based upon this, it becomes confirmed, reaffirmed, يعني يتأكد, it becomes certain for the fasting person that they must fulfill the obligatory duties, and likewise they must avoid the prohibited matters from speech and action. Meaning those things that have been prohibited and those things that have been made obligatory upon the person generally, it's more confirmed and more obligatory upon the fasting person. The obligatory duties that Allah has placed upon us for the fasting person is more obligatory. Because here's a person who is abandoning that which Allah has made lawful for us during the fast. For what reason? Except to achieve a level of consciousness of Allah that will enable them to abandon that which Allah has prohibited us all the time. So the Shaykh says, therefore, you should not backbite the people Yani the one who is fasting must not backbite the people. That means a person who is fasting more than the other people. Though it's on everyone to avoid backbiting. But while we are fasting, we have to make a greater effort to be more conscious of the use of our tongue. Especially when we're talking about other people. Especially when we're talking about the people that we don't like. Or we don't care for. Or maybe they are enemies. Or we just don't know them. It's even easier to backbite those people. So the fasting person must not backbite the people. And the fasting person must not tell lies. And the fasting person must not engage in namima, carrying tales between the people to cause corruption and bad feelings amongst the people. وَلَا يَبِيعُ بَيْعًا مُحَرَّمًا. Nor must the fasting person make a unlawful trade. Yani engaging in buying and selling that which Allah has made haram. And these are just examples that the Shaykh is mentioning here. But rather, he said, وَيَجْتَنِبْ جَمِيعَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. Rather, the fasting person must avoid, stay far removed from all prohibited matters. Yani whether speech or action. وَإِذَا فَعَلَ الْإِنسَانُ ذَلِكَ فِي شَهْرٍ كَامِلٍ فَإِنَّ نَفْسَهُ سَوْفَ تَسْتَقِيمُ بَقِيَةَ الْعَامِ. That if the person is able to do this, to fulfill the obligatory duties more consciously while they're fasting during this month, complete month, and to avoid the prohibited matters, if a person is able to do this during this whole month, then indeed his nafs will be upright for the rest of the year, inshallah. Yani it will prepare a person, put them in order, where they may be able to remain on track for the rest of the year. If you strive during this month, and not abandon after the month of Ramadan, worshipping Allah only in the month of Ramadan, but rather a person knows that Allah is to be worshipped in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. The person who strives hard in Ramadan, while we're in a better condition and a better position, and the shayateen are chained up, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aiding and supporting the believer in this time. If a person strives in this time, they put themselves in a position where they may be able to remain on track for the rest of the year. And the Shaykh, he says in closing, وَلَكِنْ المعسف أن كثيرا من الصائمين لا يفرقون بين يوم صومهم ويوم فطرهم فهم على العادة التي هم عليها من ترك الواجبات والفعل وفعل المحرمات ولا تشعر أن عليه وقار الصوم. The Shaykh, he said, but unfortunately, yani regrettably, it is extremely disturbing that many of the people who are fasting, they do not make a distinction or a difference between their day of fasting and their day when they're not fasting. Yani they act the same. Fasting doesn't help them. Some people, they do all the things that they do when they wasn't fasting, they do it likewise when they're fasting. So they remain on their ada, yani the way they normally are. The way they are normally. And that is abandoning the obligatory duties and engaging in the prohibited things. So you don't get the feeling that this person understands the gravity of the fast. They don't understand that this is something special. Rather, they feel like it's just something that we're going through, and it's a hardship and a burden, and they're hungry and they're thirsty, and they're getting headaches, and they want to smoke a cigarette, and they want to do something, and that's all is on their mind. And they don't understand the gravity, the seriousness of the matter of the fast. So these actions, the Shaykh says, and this is the view of probably many of the scholars. However, we want to look at the other side of it. But the Shaykh, he says, وَهَذِهِ الْأَفْعَالِ لَتُبْتِلَ السَّوْمِ. Yani that these actions, this engaging in sin, does not invalidate the fast. وَلَكِنْ تُنْقَسْ مِنْ أَجْرِهِ. But rather, it decreases the reward of the fast. If a person is fasting, and while they're fasting, they're lying, and they're backbiting and slandering, and engaging in unlawful sales and business, and other activities that Allah has prohibited, and they're not fulfilling the obligatory duties. The Shaykh is saying, these things are sins, no doubt. but they do not invalidate completely the fast, rather they decrease its reward. And perhaps when the matter is weighed between the virtues and the excellence and the reward of fasting, and the sin and corruption and the consequence of sinning, perhaps their sins will outweigh the reward of their fasting and they will receive no reward. And we seek refuge in Allah from that. And finally, the comments of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani rahimahullah, in his comments concerning, especially and particularly, the end of this ayat, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, the ayat of Siyam in Surah Al-Baqarah. He says, rahimahullah, نَعْلَمُ جَمِيعًا قول الله تبارك وتعالى كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. That all of us, we know the saying of Allah, the Blessed and the Most High, fasting has been made obligatory upon you, just as it has been made obligatory on those before you, that perhaps you will achieve التقوى. هذه الآية طالما سمعتم تعليقا حولها وكلاما مفيدا فيما يتعلق بها ولكني أعتقد أنكم قلما تكونون قد سمعتم تعليقا خاصا حول آخر هذه الآية لعلكم تتقون. That يعني this ayat, perhaps, much, we have heard much concerning the comments surrounding this ayat and beneficial speech concerning that which is connected or related to it. But I believe, the Shaykh says, I believe that seldom or rarely have you heard comments, special, particular comments concerning the end of this ayat, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Why has this fasting been made obligatory? The end of this ayat makes it clear. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, يعني so that you will achieve التقوى. The Shaykh, he says, هذه الآية من الآيات القليلة بل من النصوص الشرعية القليلة التي يقترن الحكم الشرعي فيها ما بيان الغاية والإلة منها. That this ayah is from a very few ayats. Rather, it is from the very few textual, yani legislated textual evidences from the Quran or the Sunnah, in which a legal ruling has been accompanied along with the clarification of its objective and its cause or reason for its legislation. Yani very few ayats in the Quran, very few legal texts that contain legal rulings also are accompanied by the purpose or the objective or the reason for which it was legislated. Rather, we find that the scholars themselves are making ijtihad, trying to explain from other ayats or other hadith or other evidences or principles of Islam, what could possibly be the hikmah or the ghaya or the hadaf or the qasd, the maqsad of these rulings. The Shaykh is saying, few ayats contain or accompanied with the purpose or the reason or the wisdom for its legislation. And this is one of those ayats. This ayat is one of the few. Here we have a clear mentioning of the reason, of the fact that fasting in the month of Ramadan has been made obligatory. And therefore, it is incumbent upon the Muslims to hasten, to adapt, and to implement this ruling without asking why is it obligatory for us to fast, without asking how has it been done, or other similar questions. And this is from those questions, the type of questions that we hear a lot today. Yani, what is the wisdom behind different legislations? And so much, it's so often, so regular, we hear the people saying, لِمَاذَا كَذَا وَلِمَاذَا كَذَا وَلِمَاذَا كَذَا. Why is this? And why is that? And why is such and such and so on and so? And for this reason, the Shaykh said, we do not see it as being something good to go too far, delving and searching for the wisdoms or the objectives or the purpose for which Allah has legislated different things. We do not believe that it is good that we delve too deeply into these matters, except that which has a textual proof, a clear textual mention of the reason for the legislation, as we find in the ayah under discussion at this moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ إِلَىٰ آخِرَ الْآيَةِ لِمَاذَا قَالَ تَعَالَىٰ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And in this ayah, Allah says, fasting has been made obligatory upon you to the end of the ayah, and then He explains to us why it has been made obligatory in order to achieve a taqwa. Now brothers and sisters, please, focus. Focus, if you're having any difficulty focusing on what the Shaykh says here. Why has fasting been made obligatory? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. A. إِنَّ الْمَقْصَدْ مِنَ السِّيَامِ هُوَ أَنْ يَكُونَ هَذَا السِّيَامِ وَصِيلَةً لِيَزْدَادَ الصَّائِمِ تَقْوَى لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَقَرُّبًا إِلَيْهِ. That in order to achieve taqwa, it means that the maqsad, the very purpose for which the fasting has been legislated, it is so that the fasting will be a means. It will be the means, the instrument, the tool, the way through which the fasting person will be increased in taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and getting near to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani the reason is to achieve taqwa. Yani that fasting is the means for the person increasing in taqwa and in nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then we have to ask ourselves, has our fasting increased us in consciousness of Allah, in fear of Allah, in fulfilling the commands of Allah, and avoiding the prohibitions of Allah? Has our fasting made us feel nearer to Allah, more thinking about Allah more, being concerned about every speech and every action? Is this something that's pleasing to Allah or displeasing to Allah? Is this something that earns the reward of Allah or earns the punishment of Allah? Have we found that our fasting has increased us in taqwa and nearness to Allah? Indeed, this is the purpose of fasting. The Shaykh says, فَإِذَا صَامَ الصَّائِمُ وَلَمْ يَتَطَوَّرْ وَضَعُهُ عَمَّا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ, أي قبل رمضان, فَمَعْنَ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ هَذَا الصَّائِمُ لَمْ يُحَقِّقْ الْغَايَةَ الْمَرْجُوَّةَ مِنْ فَرِيضَةٍ أَوْ مِنْ فَرِيضَةِ هَذَا الصِّيَامِ. That if a person is fasting, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ, and his condition is not improved, yani is not raised up above what he was upon before this, yani before Ramadan, then the meaning of this is that this fasting person has not achieved the desired objective or the desired purpose or goal for which fasting has been made obligatory. Yani, if you don't find yourself getting nearer to Allah, you don't find your condition improving, that you are better after fasting than you were before the month of Ramadan, then this means that the fasting person whose condition does not become uplifted, is not improved, is not elevated, that person has not achieved the purpose, the thing that is hoped for, what Allah said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Yani, it is hoped, it is expected, that the person will achieve a taqwa, that they will get near to Allah. The person has not achieved this. And then the Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he says, and it has come in some of the hadith, of course we mean authentic hadith, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, they have come hadith, authentic hadith, to bayin wa tuakkid hadhihi al-ghaya allati nassat alayhi al-ayah. That we have come across some authentic hadith which make clear and reconfirm the objective, the purpose for which this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah has clearly specified and stated. Yani, what is this purpose? to achieve a taqwa. For example, the hadith al-Qudsi, الَّذِي يَرْوِي النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عن ربه عز وجل حيث قال. Yani the hadith Qudsi that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has narrated from his Rabb عز وجل, where he said, مَنْ لَمْ يَضَعَ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ. Yani whoever doesn't abandon, whoever doesn't give up false speech. And again, we mean by false speech what? كُلُّ قَوْلٍ مُحَرَّمٍ. Every speech that is haram. وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ. And the acting upon that false speech. Meaning, كُلُّ فِعْلٍ كُلُّ عَمَلٍ مُحَرَّمٍ. Every action that Allah has prohibited. And جَهْلَ, ignorance. Acting in a way that doesn't reflect your intelligence and reason. Whoever doesn't give up these things, Allah has no need. Allah doesn't look to. Allah is not concerned about you giving up your food and your drink. Allah has no need for you to do that. هذا حديث عظيم جدا. عظيم جدا. This is a tremendous, magnificent, very magnificent hadith. يلتقي كل الالتقاء ما خاتمة تلك الآية. And it meets completely, meeting with the end of the ayat, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Meaning that this hadith and this ayat, they correspond with one another completely. إِذَنْ لَيْسَ الْمَقْسُودُ إِذَا جَمَعَنَا بَيْنَ الْآيَةِ وَالْحَدِيثِ لَيْسَ الْمَقْسُودُ كُلَّ الْقَصْدِ أَقُولُ كُلَّ الْقَصْدِ حَتَّى لَا يُصِي بَعْدُ فَهْمِ كَلَامِي. Yani, that it is not what is intended. If we combine between this ayat and this hadith, what is intended by it? The real main purpose or objective. And the Shaykh is saying that I'm clarifying this, that I don't mean that there's no meaning whatsoever to abandoning food and speech, but this is not the real purpose, the main objective. So that people won't misunderstand what he has said. He said, it is not the real objective. مِنَ الصَّائِمْ أَنْ يُمْسِكْ نَفْسَهُ عَنَ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ وَالْجِمَاعِ الْمَنْسُوسِ عَلَى أَنَّهَا مِنَ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَفِي السُّنَّةِ فَضْلًا عَنَ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ الْأُخْرَى الَّتِي فِيهَا خِلَافٌ كَبِيرٌ بَيْنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ. That this is not the main objective for the fasting person, to restrain themselves from food and drink and marital relations. And these are the things that the Qur'an and the Sunnah has specified, specifically that these are the things that invalidate the fast. These things are specified. He said, this is not really the main purpose. Not to mention the other mufattirat, the other things that invalidate the fast, which there's a big difference of opinion about those other things amongst the scholars of fiqh. But not even these, about which there's no difference of opinion, that these are invalidators of the fast, that is eating and drinking and marital relations. This is not really the main purpose. لَيْسَ الْمَقْصُودُ الْإِمْسَاكُ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ فَقَطْ وَإِنَّمَا هُنَاكَ مِنَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ أُخْرَى الَّتِي يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يُمْسِكَ عَنْهَا أَيْضًا كَمَا أَمْسَكَ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ. That it is not the objective to just abstain or refrain oneself from these invalidators of the fast alone, but rather indeed there are other obligations which are obligatory upon the Muslim to refrain from those things, just as you must refrain from that which is mentioned here, food and drink and marital relations. وَعَلَى دَوْ التَّعْلِيلَ الْمَذْكُورَ فِي الْآيَةِ. And in light of the ta'aleel, yani the illah that has been mentioned in the ayat. What is the purpose of legislating the obligation of fasting? It is to achieve a taqwa. In light of this matter, and the hadith as-sari as-sahih al-madhkur anifan, and the hadith that is sari, it is crystal clear in what it indicates and what it is pointing to, and it is sahih, it is authentic, that has just been mentioned. In light of this ayat and this hadith, I am able to say for you something. قَدْ يَكُونَ أَمْرًا جَدِيدًا فِي التَّعْبِيرِ. This might be something, the expression that he's about to use might be something new to you, that you didn't hear before. وَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ جَدِيدٌ فِي الْأَحْكَامِ. But it is not something that's new in terms of the ahkam that Allah has legislated. لأن ذلك منصوص في القرآن والسنة. Because what he's about to say is what has been specifically mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. However, the تعبير, التعبير الجديد هو أن كتب الفقه قاطبة جرت على ذكر المفطرات وهذا شيء لابد منه ولكن أنا أقول بيانا وتوضيحا لما سبق من الآيات والحديث أقول إن المفطرات قسمان يعني the expression that he's about to use he's saying it might be some, a new expression to you but it's not something new in the legislation what Allah has legislated in the Quran what came in the Sunnah this new expression something that you may not have heard before it is that the books of fiqh all of them without exception have come mentioning the things that invalidate the fast. Yani, for eating and drinking, sexual relations, and forcing yourself to vomit, and so on and so on. These things must be mentioned, no doubt about it. However, what I'm about to say is in clarification, to make clear what has been previously mentioned in the ayat and the hadith, and I'm saying that the mufattirat, the things that invalidate the fast, are two divisions. They are not only food and drink. Many of the scholars said that the things that the Shaykh is mentioning from the second division, that these do not invalidate the fast. As we have just mentioned previously, earlier tonight, that those things decrease the reward of the fast. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, is saying that this category, food and drink, the material things, and the other things also are invalidators of the fast. He said, I say to you that the things that invalidate the fast are two divisions, قسمان. يجب أن تكون هذه القسمة الحق ثابتة في أذنان الجميع لأهميتها. That it is obligatory that this correct, true division be firmly established in the minds of all of us due to the importance of these two, both of these divisions. القسم الأول المفطرات المادية. يعني the first division of things that invalidate the fast are those material things that invalidate the fast. And these are the things that are mentioned or that are clarified in the books of fiqh, as we have just mentioned. والقسم الآخر من المفطرات and the other division of things that invalidate the fast لنسميها بالمفطرات المعنوية we will call them يعني things that invalidate the fast that are not material not immaterial things يعني the things that are not physical like food and drink يعني not the abandonment of food and drink نعم and I'm saying now to remind us that perhaps it is yani the relation between these two things is that the person who abandons food and drink the material things that invalidate the fast perhaps abandoning those things giving up those things might lead to the person remembering Allah sufficient enough that they will abandon the other things that a person might not be conscious of. A person, it's unlikely, most people will not just eat and drink unknowingly, but they might backbite, they might slander, they might lie without even thinking twice about it. But the abandonment of food and drink puts a person in a state of mind that perhaps it would lead to the person restraining themselves from the other things, the second category of things which invalidate the fast. The Shaykh says, these المفطرات المعنوية يعني these invalidators that are not physical that are not material هي التي أشارت إليها الآية الكريمة these are the things the invalidators that this noble ayat is referring to that fasting has been يعني abandoning food and drink has been made obligatory upon you for something else not for food and drink but so that you will achieve a taqwa which enables you to abandon lying and stealing and cheating and engaging in that which Allah has made haram. Yani that it is these things, the second category, that the ayat actually is referring to. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ And the saying of the Prophet ﷺ which he narrates from his Rabb, تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, also makes it more clear. مَنْ لَمْ يَضَعَ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ والعمل به والجهل وعليكم السلام فليس لله حاجة في أن يضع طعامه وشرابه. That whoever does not, whoever fails to give up false speech, all types of prohibited speech, and acting in accordance with that, all type of prohibited actions, and ignorance, then Allah has no need, Allah doesn't accept him giving up his food and drink. Therefore, يَجِبُ أَنْ يَقْتَرِنْ مَا تَرْكِهِ طَعَامِهِ وَشَرَابِهِ وَشَهْوَتِهِ الْجِنْسِيَّةِ يَجِبُ أَيُضَمَّ إِلَى ذَلِكَ الْإِنْتِهَاء عَمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَيْهِ وَفَرَضَ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمْ أَنْ يَكُونُ بَعِيدًا عَنْهُ. So it is obligatory that we join, that we connect to our abandonment, or he connects, the fasting person connects to his abandonment of food and drink, and abandonment of sexual desires. It is obligatory to couple with it, to join with it, leaving off, yani stopping all those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon him, all of it. And what Allah has made obligatory upon every Muslim to be far removed from, yani the haram. وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم أنه قال ليس الصيام بترك الطعام والشراب إنما الصيام بانتهاء عما نهى الله عز وجل عنه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. يعني he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that it is fasting ليس الصيام. Fasting is not giving up food and drink, but rather indeed fasting, yani innama means indeed, verily, certainly, fasting is only this. Fasting is giving up, yani leaving off whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And this the Shaykh said, yani, or it is as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, meaning that the Shaykh is narrating the hadith here bil ma'na. He's not actually quoting the exact words of the hadith. So whoever wants to come across these ahadith that he is referring to and that which is similar to it, where the Prophet ﷺ is warning the people from committing sins, especially for the fasting person, yani particularly in reference to the fasting person. Whoever wants to come across this warning from the Prophet ﷺ, and that this prohibition that the Prophet ﷺ mentions, these hadith, it is the general meaning of the saying of Allah in the end of that ayat, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the general meaning of this ayat. But the hadith is more specific. مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَقِفْ عَلَى هَذَا النَّوْءِ مِنَ الْأَحَدِيثِ فَعَلَيْهِ بِكِتَابِ التَّرْغِيبِ وَالتَّرْهِيبِ لِلْحَافِظِ الْمُنْذِرِي رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Then it is incumbent upon you to take to the book of Al-Hafidh Al-Mundhari rahimahullah, which he entitled At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. And we will close with a few of those hadith that are mentioned in the checking of Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah of At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, where he mentions the hadith which are sahih or hasan, or hasan li ghayrihi, separated from the hadith which are da'if. And we'll read some of those hadith, and this is what we will close with. And these are the hadith that give the details of what is meant by the ayat that we started with, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Pay attention, these hadith really make crystal clear for us what is upon us, yani the task that we are carrying. Wallahi, abstaining from food and drink is not very difficult. Everybody can do that. Even the irreligious people can do it. People who don't even don't pray the rest of the year, in Ramadan they abstain from eating and drinking. That's not something to boast out about, to feel good about, that I have abstained from eating and drinking. Rather, it is befitting of the believer and the people of Sunnah that we take it to a higher level, and that we achieve the purpose for which fasting has been legislated. And that is to get near to Allah, to be conscious of Allah, to fulfill His commands more than we normally did, to take ourselves to a different level. And this is what is mentioned in these hadith and sahih, At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. In the chapter Tarheeb As-Saim Min Al-Ghiba Wal-Fuhsh Wal-Kadhib Wa-Nahwa Thalik, yani the warning, yani making the person to have fear the fasting person from backbiting and obscenities or indecencies and lying and that which is similar to it. And the first hadith that the Shaykh mentions, he says it is sahih, and it's the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith that we mentioned, man lam yada qawla zuwal amala bihi, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ. This is the first narration that he mentions. Whoever doesn't give up false speech and action, then Allah has no need of him leaving off his food and his drink. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i ibn Majah. And it is sahih. Then the Shaykh mentions the narration of Nasa'i. He said, مَنْ لَمْ يَضَى قَوْلَزُ وَالْجَهْلَ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ. Yani he mentions the word al-jahla in this narration, that whoever doesn't give a false speech and ignorance and acting in accordance with it to the end of the hadith, Allah has no need of giving up his food and a drink. The next hadith that he mentions is Hasan لِغَيْرِهِ, meaning that the hadith is a defective hadith, but due to other narrations that support it, is raised up to the level of Hasan, due to supporting evidence from other narrations, reported by Al-Tabarani, Fis-Saghir wal-Awsat, in Hadith Anas ibn Malik. And this narration is from Al-Tabarani, yani the wording of it. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man lam yada'a al-khana wal-kadhib, فَلَا حَاجَةَ لِلَّهِ أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ. That whoever doesn't give up al-khana, yani obscenity, indecencies, and from the meanings of al-khana is fornication and prostitution. Whoever doesn't give up obscenities and indecencies and lying, Allah has no need that he give up his food and drink. There's no benefit for you giving up food and drink. The next hadith he mentions was sahih from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala Allah azza wa jalla, kullu amali ibn Adam lahu illa siyam fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bi. That Allah azza wa jalla says every action of the son of Adam, of the human being, is for him except fasting. And this is what we referred to earlier, that every act of worship is a means of achieving taqwa, but siyam, fasting, has a special place amongst other acts of worship. Every act of the human being is for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, except fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لِي. Indeed it is for me. And every act that you do sincerely for the sake of Allah is for Allah. But fasting is special. And Allah said, وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِي. And I will reward it. يعني specially. وَالصِّيَامُ جُنَّةٌ. And fasting is a shield. يعني a shield from the hellfire. And it's a shield from committing sins. It helps a person to prevent them from committing sins. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ سَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَسْخَبْ. So if any one of you is in a day of fasting, yani is fasting in any particular day, then don't engage in obscenities and don't be shouting and screaming and yelling. This kind of behavior is unbecoming of a fasting person. فَإِنْ صَابَهُ أَحَدٌ فَإِنْسَابَهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَامٍ. And if somebody abuses him, yani speaks ill to him, curses him, or said something harmful to him, or fights with him, then he should say, verily I am fasting. Verily I am fasting. Now it's not becoming of me to engage in this behavior, to reciprocate, to come back with this. I'm fasting. Fasting person doesn't act like this. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, and this is the wording of Bukhari, and it's also reported by Muslim al-Abu Dawud al-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, and it has been mentioned previously, he says. And after this, he mentions another hadith that he says is sahih, hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa siyamu min al-akli wa shurbi, innama siyamu min al-lagwi wa rafathi. That fasting, it is not fasting. Yani it is, fasting is not just abstention from food and drink. But indeed, rather fasting is abstention from al-laghwi wal-rafath. Yani from what? From foolish talk, from nonsense, engaging in that which is of no benefit, and engaging in obscenities or indecencies. فَإِنْ سَابَكَ أَحَدٌ أَوْ جَهَلَ عَلَيْكَ فَكُلْ إِنِّي صَامٍ. So if anybody abuses you verbally, or acts ignorantly towards you, don't reciprocate. Rather say, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. It's not becoming of the fasting person to act like this, not even in response to the one who has abused you. It doesn't entitle you to act like this. This hadith reported by Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah, in their two books of Sahih, and also Hakim said it was Sahih ala Sharat Muslim. And the next hadith, actually, Al-Imam Al-Mundhiri mentions different narrations of the hadith. I'll just mention some of them and we'll close with this, because the wording is slightly different, but it's the same, pretty much the same hadith. And the Shaykh says this hadith is Hasan Sahih, also from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُبَّ صَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ, that perhaps there is a fasting person, or there is a fasting person, رُبَّ صَائِمْ, he doesn't get anything from his fasting except hunger. Meaning he's abstaining from eating and drinking, but he's not getting any other benefit out of it. He's not abstaining from lying and slandering and backbiting and cheating and engaging in false behavior or ignorant behavior. So he doesn't get anything from it except that he's hungry. وَرُبَّ قَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ, and there's a standing person who stands in the prayer in the night, who doesn't get anything from his standing in the prayer in the night, 11 rak'ah, maybe for 45 minutes or 1 hour, or two or three. He doesn't get anything from his standing except sleeplessness. Except he's losing sleep. This hadith is reported by Ibn Majah, and this is the wording of Ibn Majah, and it's also reported by An-Nasai and Ibn Khuzaym and his Sahih and Al-Hakim and Al-Mustadrak and others. And in a different wording, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, رُبَّ صَائِمْ حَظُّهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ الْجُوعِ وَالْعَطَشِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمْ حَظُّهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ السَّهَرِ, that there is a fasting person who what he gets, يعني حَظُّهُ, what his fortune, what he gets from his fasting is hunger and thirst. And there's a standing person who stands in the prayer in the night, and what his portion that he gets from his standing is sleeplessness or wakelessness. Reported by Al-Bayhaqi, Al-Hadith is Hasan Sahih. And the next one is similar in almost the same wording. And the next one is also similar in the same wording. And so we'll stop here for the sake of time and say that these hadith, bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, are sufficient for us to clarify the reality, the fasting is not just abstention from food and drink and marital relations and the physical things that are so commonly mentioned and that people are more conscious of, but rather the true fast that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, that He mentions in the Quran, that He made it obligatory upon us to fast in this month for, is to achieve a taqwa, meaning to abstain from all prohibited behavior, prohibited actions, prohibited speech, from whatever is displeasing to Allah. Whether Allah has made it haram, or we know that Allah dislikes it, whether it is haram or it is makruh, but rather to abstain from anything that is not, yani something that will be pleasing to Allah, that will not earn reward from Allah, that will not, you will not be pleased to know that Allah sees you in that place, or that Allah hears you with that speech, or Allah knows that you are thinking those thoughts. You will not be pleased to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sees everything, who hears everything, who knows everything. You will not be pleased to be engaged in that kind of behavior, in that kind of action, in that kind of speech, in public or in private, knowing that Allah is seeing it, that Allah is hearing it, and Allah is able, He is capable to call you to account for it even right now, not only on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He has the ability, the power, and the right to punish us, to call us to account whenever He wills. A person has to be conscious of this. Know what is at-taqwa. And seek it and strive for it through this fast. By fasting in the way that the Prophet ﷺ has explained to us. Avoiding false speech and false action. And avoiding even the thoughts that are not becoming of a mu'min. Because thinking it might lead to acting upon it. May Allah save us from the evil of ourselves. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there's any question, inshallah, concerning what we have discussed this evening, inshallah, we can take a few questions.